You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
A warm welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall on the podcast this week to preview the Porsche European Open and indeed the RBC Canadian Open on the PGA Tour as well. First of all, a warm welcome to the man that's joining me live on Skype on this Tuesday afternoon, Dave Tindall, who's just enjoyed 4 days at Royal Birkdale. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Tindall.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yes, Skype today because juggling family commitments, but we can still make a good podcast. And I'm still on a high, I suppose, after the Open, even though it kind of didn't go my way, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was an incredible finish, and Jordan Spieth in those final five holes, Dave Tindall, was just absolutely sensational. To have the clarity of mind after what happened on 13 to take the drop in the on the practice range and make a five there and then go on an incredible stretch of golf to seal his third major championship, all before his 24th birthday. You run out of superlatives with this man.
That was astonishing. Obviously, I was on Kuchar, who was my podcast tip at 50s, and you could possibly argue, oh, I feel unlucky, but I didn't really feel unlucky. I always thought that Spieth, by hook or by crook, would get it done, and I just thought when he was running up and looking over a mound and trying to find a drop, I just thought, you know, his comeback was more elaborate than I thought it would be, rather than, oh, now it's going to be Kuchar's. I don't know, I always had this feeling that Kuchar was going to be the sort of plucky loser because he did nothing wrong at all. It's just that Spieth had those extra gears, Spieth had that bit of magic. You know, the final putt on Saturday as well, when Spieth knocked that in, I thought that was a big moment. And then, yeah, to kind of just slide away and then find a way around to do it, very, very special, wasn't it? I mean, it's one of the most incredible turnarounds on a back nine I can remember in a major, to be honest, and fair play to him, just brilliant.
Yeah, I think the extra club is the one between his ears, isn't it, really, with Jordan Spieth. People talk about his putting, his iron plays, or has been superb this season as well, but just to be able to compose himself after the round had got away from him, and he still shot 69, one under par in the final round, and you saw some of the putts missing on the front nine and thought, for a moment, maybe he's not going to close this tournament out, having traded at 2-7 on Sunday morning. But, I mean, you talked on the podcast last week about the cream rising to the top at Royal Birkdale, and it's definitely done that. And that special moment when he made eagle and pointed to the cup and his caddy and said, go get that. It's one of those, it's going to be an iconic moment now.
Yeah, brilliant. And in his press conference afterwards, he was so honest, and he's so good at kind of articulating his mental thoughts. You know, he doesn't give you stuff and you think, really, were you really thinking that? He just tells it as it is, kind of like he's sort of like replaying stream of consciousness at the time when he speaks in press conferences. And takes you all through it, and he admits, yeah, he had some self-doubts. He knew he would get loads of questions if he didn't win this one, and just really impressive. I mean, and you can totally see why. He said when he walked off with bogey on the 13th, he somehow felt he had the momentum, even though he'd now fallen behind because of the way he made bogey. So it was almost like he needed a dramatic hole to somehow kickstart the run to the line, and just full of admiration for him. Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic performance. As far as the podcast picks were concerned, yourself and Mike both went for Norrin, who shared sixth place, and you obviously picked Kuchar as well, who finished alone in second. And we had some success in the side markets with Mark Leishman finishing as top Aussie as well. So not a complete disaster as far as Spieth winning the Open Championship from a betting perspective was concerned, Dave?
No, not at all. And I know someone tweeted me, because I'd made a big thing about how important it was to play in the Scottish Open, and someone tweeted me and said, oh, well, that's that theory gone. And I replied, absolutely not. That's that theory completely kind of validated, because seven of the top 10 played in the Scottish Open. There's no way I would have picked Kuchar had he not played in the Scottish Open. I thought that was a massive boost to his chances. Okay, Spieth didn't, but I think we need to just judge Spieth by different rules, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
He can just do what he likes, kind of thing. But I thought that I would certainly be watching for the Scottish Open again next time, because so many of them did play there, and quite a few of them played well as well. And Kuchar being one of them, so it is a really good prep. I still think that, definitely.
Let's talk about this week. We'll hear from Mike Grenham a little bit later on in the podcast. He's done a pre-record ahead of the Senior Open Championship at Royal Porthcawl, so that's still to come on the podcast. But we're going to start with the two events on the European and the PGA Tour, respectively. And the Porsche European Open is the first event we're going to look at. I'm going to keep calling it the Porsche European Open as well, just in case. 12-1 the field here. Charles Schwartzel and Patrick Reed at the top of the betting. Torbjørn Olesen is 20-1. Juus Lauten is 22s. Jimmy Walker, 25-1. Alexander Levy is 28s. Pat Perez, 28-1. 30-1 Paul Dunne and Richie Ramsey. And 33-1 and bigger the rest. And punters have a tricky test to solve here, Dave, because we have a new venue to assess, and it's going to be quite difficult to gauge the motivation of some of the players that have decided to stick around after the Open Championship. Just a little bit of information about the course. The North Course hosts this. It's a property called Green Eagle in Hamburg, and the only event this venue has ever hosted of any real note is the 2010 Echo Tour Championship on the Challenge Tour. But by all accounts, Dave, it's a bit of a beast, this one. It's a par 72 that can play to a yardage of 7,582 yards. That's from the absolute tips. And water is in play on a number of holes as well. And not only that, the area of Hamburg has been hit by an unusually large amount of rainfall recently. So the course is reportedly going to play very soft. That could play into the hands of the Bombers here, Dave.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think one of the big things this week, you've got to think that we're moving from parkland after 3 weeks of links. So in theory, there might be some guys with some dodgy looking current form, but it's all been, you know, come on links courses where it wasn't really for them. So there could be a few under the radar maybe who were playing well before the tour went to Ireland, Scotland and England. So that's one way to look at it. But I think, yeah, you're right with the Bombers. I think with all that rain and the length of the course, it does make a lot of sense. And I think anyone who's sort of played a parkland course that's wet knows you need the distance. Sometimes on a links course, it's still bouncy. There's been plenty of wet rain. But on parkland courses, when they do get wet and they're long, they do need lots of lots of club going in. I can never play parkland courses when they're wet. I just take huge divots, and it's far too long for me. So I think those who can blast it off the tee, yeah, those would be the ones I'm looking at.
You did once make a birdie at the first at Royal Birkdale, though, Dave.
Yes, I did, and that's news to most, isn't it? I've not gone on about that at all.
As for the tournament's history, it became defunct after the 2009 edition. Resurrected in 2015 with Tongchai Zhaidi winning, and Alexander Levy is the defending champion, having won at Bad Griesbach last year. Tips then, Dave Tindall, have you got any?
Yeah, I'm going to put up one, and you've just mentioned his name, Alexander Levy.
That's my first pick as well, actually, Dave.
Okay, right.
I'll let you go, because I've got two bets in the event.
Okay, I'm presuming he's still 28.
Which I think is a good price.
Yeah, so he's the defending champion in this event, and then some of his other efforts. He was third in 2013, 14th 2014. And one little thing that helps me is he tends to play well kind of when he's in his comfort zone. So he always seems to play well in the China Open or the Shenzhen, and he's done that on sometimes different courses. So I think long courses where he's played well before, or in countries he's played well before, so Germany, obviously. I just think in his comfort zone, and okay, missed the cut at the Open, but I'm happy to disregard that because, you know, he is far more, if you put in a little kind of sign next to players, do they play better on Linksland or Parkland? He's definitely Parkland.
Yeah.
And to be honest, his performance in Scotland 2 weeks ago wasn't that bad. I think for him on a links course, that was pretty decent how he played in Scotland. So I just think once he's now back in his, you know, comfort zone in terms of type of golf course, I think he's ready to throw in another big performance. And the fact that he's the defending champion, some people that goes against, but him, I think it'll just be a boost for him. And okay, it's on a different course, but there's no reason why he shouldn't play well again.
I think as well, just to add to what you've made mention of, soft golf courses suit him when it's target golf. I'm not saying it's going to be low scoring because the course is long and it is going to be wet. But remember when he won the Portugal Open back in 2014, that was reduced to just a couple of rounds because of heavy downpours and the sodden conditions. So it's clearly,
I think he shot 63, 61 or something.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be shooting that this week, but...
Yeah.
I just think he loves those sort of conditions. And when he won in China, he talked about the added incentive of striving to be on that Ryder Cup team as well for France in 2018. Qualification hasn't started yet, but it starts shortly. And I think he'll want to be running into form because that's one of his main goals, Alexander Levy, to be on that team in France in 2018 to play in front of those home crowds. He's probably got to improve a little bit, Dave, you'd say, but I think this is the sort of event that he'll look to have a good shot in, and 28-1, this event's right in his wheelhouse as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that point, I often describe him, when you're trying to sort of describe like the so-and-so adjective, I often say the fire at the flags Frenchman.
Yes, yeah.
Sort of, and that seems to sum up his style, doesn't it? Obviously on links courses, that's, you can't really do that. You've got to be a bit more canny. But when he can just play target golf, get his number, just aim right at it, and when he's on, isn't he? So he can really go low. So yeah, for the same reasons, I think Levy's pretty useful at 28-1 in an interesting field. Like you say, there's a few surprise Americans that have stayed on to have another go at it, and there's a few decent Europeans, but I think Levy's the one for me at that price.
I've just added Jordan Smith as my second selection, a player I've talked about on the podcast in detail before, but he's that graduate from the Challenge Tour. And we've cut him from an opening quota of 40s to 33s, but I still think he's worth a pop. Sweet swinger. Course will suit him very well, I think, Jordan Smith, because par 5 scoring could be key at this venue. And he's right on the money this season as far as that stat is concerned, and he's made his last 7 cuts. I always like that when a player can rack up consistency as far as cuts made is concerned, and I think he's worth a bet this week, so I've just added Jordan Smith as my second selection at 33-1. Any others you want to mention, Dave?
I must admit, I found it a tricky tournament compared to the Canadian one. The Canadian one I had more of a handle on, I think, because, you know, it's a course that we've seen a number of times before. And probably got a better quality field. So not really. I think I'm sticking just with Levy there.
Okay, let's move on then. Let's talk about the RBC Canadian Open, in which Dustin Johnson is the 13-2 favourite. Matt Kuchar is 10-1. Charlie Hoffman, 22s. Tony Finau is in the betting at 25-1. Bubba Watson is 28s. Patrick Cantlay is 30s. Kevin Chappell, 35s. 40-1 and bigger the rest. And the professionals descending on Glen Abbey here for the third straight year. And in addition, this course hosted the Canadian Open in 2004, 2008, 2009 and 2013. And Jonathan Vegas won last year. Jason Day won the year before, having just come up short in the Open Championship at St. Andrews. The course, a par 72, measuring 7,253 yards. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, and it's worth noting that the greens were changed from Poana to Bentgrass before last year's edition. And all four of the par fives here, Dave, as well, play under 560 yards, so there's definite scoring potential from that perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the first question I asked, and probably a lot of people will as well, can you play this after the Open? Will the jet lag get to you? So I did a bit of research on the last two kind of editions of this, because both were at Glen Abbey. It's pretty interesting. So last year, 12 players would have finished tied 10th or better in this event. Seven of them had played in the Barbasol, four in the Open.
Right.
And then the year before, the top 10, seven had played in the Open, two at the Barbasol. So on those numbers, it's very important that you played the week before somewhere, either the Open or the Barbasol. Just two, so that's 22 players were in the top 10 those last 2 years. Only two hadn't played the week before. So I think it, you know, whichever one you've played in, and certainly in terms of, well, could someone like Matt Kuchar possibly win after that draining event? Well, Jason Day, as you just said, had come up almost like a rotation of a ball short. Hadn't he? Do you remember that? He had a putt to get in that three-man playoff. Would have been a four-man playoff at St Andrews. So he kind of went there with kind of agonising near miss, and yet went out and won. 2 years before that, 2013, Brant Snedekwood finished 11th in the Open. So two of the last three runnings at Glen Abbey have been won by guys who've come in the top 11 in the Open. So it certainly shouldn't put you off, put it that way.
I hear what you're saying, Dave, but Matt Kuchar this week after what happened last week, just being in the firing line for such a long time and basically playing match play with Jordan Spieth Saturday night and all day Sunday, that's got to have taken something out of him. And he talked about how down he felt following the Open Championship. Can he get back on the horse, even at a venue that he loves?
Well, I think he can. I mean, he's before that, he was fourth in Scotland. If you look, when he does win, he tends to be in a good run of form. You know, it's all specific to the individual. I always think the biggest example in this case, Bernard Langer, after he missed that putt at Kiawa Island in 91, he won the next week. So it kind of, it can be done. It's like, sometimes we tend to kind of overthink it and think, oh, he'll be mentally... When a very kind of basic thing is to say he's playing brilliant golf and then he's going to a venue where he plays well. So that's the other side of the argument. I think that maybe the decider then is his price this week, which is 10-1, and that's just very short, isn't it? Very, very short.
It's something you made mention of last week before selecting him at 50s. Matt Kuchar at 10, 12, 16-1, you can leave, but when he's 50-1, maybe that's the time to back him.
Yeah, so it'd be somewhat hypocritical if I were to put him up this week, I think, but I do think he can play well, but I wouldn't back him at that price.
What do you think the keys are to succeeding around Glen Abbey?
Yeah, I think hitting it long is important. I mean, we've had the various types of winners. I looked at it since it moved to its post-open slot, every winner had played the week before. So I do keep banging on about that stat. So I think it's somewhere where you go and your game is up and running. In terms of player types, well, I guess Vegas, big hitter, day big hitter. But then Brant Snedeker, you wouldn't really say that. And then you've got Nathan Green, winner, he's a shorty.
Yeah, Matt Kuchar obviously got a great record, as we just mentioned. Yeah. He wouldn't be the longest off the tee.
No, Vijay Singh won it in 2000. Big hitter. So it's a bit of a variety, but obviously four par fives to go at, and as you've said, reachable. So I think if there's a big hitter on his game, I think they can overpower it and have a bit of an advantage at that course.
I've just got the one selection, Dave.
Yeah, me too. Will it be the same?
I don't think so. I'd be very surprised if it was. Shall I lead off here? Right.
You go ahead, yeah.
I'm going with Annie Barnes-Lahiri as my sole selection at 66-1. I think it's definitely worth a look at Muirfield Village if you're looking at course correlations here. That's another Jack Nicklaus design. And Matt Kuchar, who I've mentioned about 50,000 times on this podcast now, he's got an excellent record both at Muirfield Village, the host venue for the Memorial, and his figures here at Glen Abbey are obviously excellent as well. He's finished in the top 10 the last three times he's played it. And Lahiri finished tied second at Memorial earlier this season, and he should be raring to go. I'm glad you mentioning last week as playing last week a positive, because he played... but only a couple of rounds at Royal Birkdale, missed the cut Right on the number here in Mr. Cup, plus six, I think he shot over the first couple of days. Can make plenty of birdies, Lahiri. Ranks inside the top 50 in par 5 scoring. And I quite like him in a pretty weak field this week. Before that missed cut at the Open, he tied for second at the Memorial, as mentioned. Backed that performance up with a tie for 17th at the Travellers. And then followed that with a 32nd place finish on the links in the Scottish Open. Back on a golf course like this, I think he's worth a look, Lahiri. So I'm playing a point each way on Anibal Lahiri at 66-1 as my sole selection, Dave.
Yeah, I like that. My pick then this week is a risk, but in terms of what he's achieved in the game, it's the price is there. It's Bubba Watson at 28-1.
It's funny, I was talking to Mike earlier, not on the podcast, Mike, but we'll get his thoughts on the Senior Open shortly. And I said to him, if I had one more pick, I'd be picking Bubba Watson at 28, I think.
Right. Yeah, obviously, being at the Open last week, I was keeping an eye on everybody. And every time I looked up and saw Bubba on TV coverage or just creeping on the bottom of the leaderboard, I kept thinking, what's he doing there?
Yeah, because me too.
There's no way he should have played well in those conditions. I mean, he doesn't care for the Open. He was kind of knocking his yellow ball around. He just looked like a bit of a sideshow. And yet, for quite a while, had he finished better, he did fade away a little bit. But for a long time, he was creeping around, sort of tied 10th, and certainly in the top 20 for a long time. So I thought for Bubba to do that in conditions where he's clearly, you know, doesn't care for, it could be interesting when you get him back on a course that he might like, because that's generally the way you play Bubba, isn't it? Wait till he finds a venue where he's comfortable on. And you've got to think he's comfortable on this course because he's a former runner-up. That was 2 years ago when Jason Day won. Also 21st before that. So he's had a couple of decent performances, won a very good performance on this course. Can absolutely go in, tear into those par fives. And he must have gained some confidence from last week to play all four rounds in a tough open. No one would have batted an eyelid had he kind of chucked the towel in on that Friday when it was tough weather. So for him to come through that and play all four rounds, I think he can head back, fly back across the Atlantic, go back to Canada where he's come second before on this Glen Abbey course and have a really big week. I mean, I know you look at his record this year and it's generally fairly terrible, but there's some good moments in there as well. I think the more you watch him over the last couple of months, he seems to be coming back into things. So I think he's worth playing at 28-1 because a fit and well Bubba would be, well, he'd be about 12-1, wouldn't he, if he was playing like he did before. Well, he'd be ahead of Kuchar, you'd say, wouldn't he, a proper Bubba.
Yeah.
So 28-1, I think it's a value play, isn't it, I think?
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. 28-1, Bubba Watson. Others I looked at, Patrick Cantlay has been well-backed. He's into 30-1 now, which looks a little bit too short. Don't know where he's been either. He's had injury problems throughout his career and he's been off the track for 6 weeks, which is enough to temper my enthusiasm on Patrick Cantlay. And Tony Finau looks an obvious contender. 25-1, made his last 8 cuts, made his last 2 cuts at Glen Abbey as well. Loves bent grass greens. Obviously those 4 par 5s under 570 yards or whatever playing to his hands. And another one that I quite liked, I thought David Lingmuth was interesting at 66-1. You talk about Jack Nicklaus Designs and he always pops up. He was in a rich vein of form before finishing down the field at the Greenbrier. Came over to play the Scottish Open on a links course, missed the cut there, and suddenly is back out with the washing as far as the betting's concerned at 66-1. There's a chance that purple patch, Dave, has come to its natural end, and he might pick up later on in the season. But if he returns to that form that he showed a month ago, he'd be in the reckoning at 66ers, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. As I've said, I've got a big thing about players who played last week, whether it be the Open or the Barbasol. So I had about 10 who I was looking at. I'll just quickly skim over some of these. So in terms of price order, so 20-1, Charlie Hoffman played in the Open, played pretty well. Got some decent form here as well, 16th and 7th.
Yeah.
20-1 he is. Finau, you've mentioned. 40-1, JB Holmes. He's another one. got a top 20 at this course. You can easily see him attacking the par fives again. Chad Campbell playing a lot of good golf.
Playing very well, isn't he, Chad Campbell?
Yeah. 16th, 11th, 26th at this course. So he's got your classic combination of current form and course form. David Hearn, local guy, the Canadian. He was third, wasn't he, at this course. So he could be inspired by the home crowds. A few more bigger prices. Ricky Barnes.
Yeah, I was just about to say Ricky Barnes. 80-1 he is.
He's got an 11th and a 5th, and he played well at the Barbasol. So he could go well. Cameron Tringale, another one. A couple at three-figure prices. You've probably noted them, similar ones. Alex Chaker, I know you've put him up before.
Yeah.
He's got a 5th at this course. Retief Goosen as well. He played some decent stuff every so often, doesn't he, in recent weeks. And he's a former runner-up at Glen Abbey. There's quite a few to choose from there, but I couldn't really pull the trigger on any of them. I think their prices were slightly reflected in that cross combination of current and course form. Maybe Chad Campbell would be the closest one to a second pick I've got, I have to say. But Bubba, I thought, was one you could look at the price and go, well, in theory, that is a big old price.
What do you think to Dustin Johnson this week, very quickly?
Not for me.
No?
Not at six to one. Now, I know, you could argue, well, he would have gone off shorter at the Masters had he been fit, certainly in the pre-tournament betting.
13-2, I thought. I think it's just about the price on Dustin Johnson. If he was 8-1, I'd be interested, because I know he's recovering from that back injury still, and he's been talking about not being able to maybe turn through the ball properly, and he's missed a lot of shots left recently. But 13-2 in a field like this, he's been going off shorter for WGC events this season.
Yeah, but I think he was going off shorter when he was in absolute golden form.
Yeah.
He kind of, I was looking at some of the stats at the Open on, I think, the Friday, he took about 22 putts. He admitted in his press conference he was masking deficiencies with his iron playing with short game skills, and they kind of ran out. So I think he flattered to deceive in the Open for a long way. I think he was sort of hanging on the edges, wasn't he, playing well, but I think he was well short of what we can expect for him. And I don't think he's quite right. I know, obviously, he'd be trying to impress Mr. Wayne Gretzky, Mr. Canadia. But sometimes you sort of look at a player of his caliber and you look at the price and you compare it to, like you've done, WGCs. But I was fairly quick to go, not for me, I just don't think he's playing well enough.
Okay, that's the Canadian Open. Let's hear from Mike Grenham. I caught up with Mike earlier on for his preview of the Senior Open Championship. Bernhard Langer is the 7-2 favourite for the Senior Open Championship. Fred Couples 6-1. Miguel Angel Jimenez is in the betting at 7s. Scott McCarron is 10-1. Joe Durant and Tom Lehman both 16s, 20-1 bar. Delighted to be joined by Mike Grenham here in the studio. Mike, it's a sadness that you can't be on the podcast live and in person, but you're just the man we need for the Senior Open Championship.
Yeah, just a little bit of a pre-record here, Dave, but good to be here. Just to talk about the Senior Open, which is at Royal Porthcawl this week, after last week's fantastic events at Birkdale, which was so exciting. And let's hope that we have a similarly fascinating event with the older guys.
We didn't when it was last at Royal Porthcawl in 2014.
Oh, no, we didn't, did we?
Bernhard Langer won by 13 shots from Colin Montgomery.
Unbelievable, Dave. An amazing performance. And look, I wouldn't put anyone off backing Langer at 7-2 each way this week. I can't see him being out of the top five. He's got an amazing record this year. His last five Senior Opens, he's got 2 seconds and a win and 2 top 10s. So much good. He's been 6th and 9th in those 5 times. So, but 7-2 looks great. The way he's playing, he's just been consummate this year. I think he's 59, I think he is. He's unbelievable for that age.
Yeah, because we keep thinking those guys that are just late 40s and going to turn 50, they're going to make A on the senior senior tour. It doesn't happen because Langer's there.
They can't beat him. He's 10 years younger than he should be. Because that's a theory, man. I like older, younger. 50-year-olds around the senior majors because there's 4 rounds. Langer is a complete anomaly to that. So if you like the 72, he's won two senior majors already this year. He's brilliant in senior opens. Get on at 72 because he's a great player. Freddie Couples equally does very well in links play, and he was fifth the last time he played the senior open. He's been in great form this year. Another guy who was a little bit in the older end of the 50s. As much as I like Freddie, I'm willing to give him a bit of a wide berth just in case there's bad weather and his back plays up and he's not quite right. So I won't, as much as I like the top two in the market, Langer and Couples, I'm going to go for Jimenez as my pick.
All right, okay. 7-1, Miguel Angel Jimenez.
7-1, Dave. Hasn't won a senior open yet, but has been there or thereabouts in all three that he's played. He was actually 8th behind Langer at Royal Porthcawl last time, 48 shots behind.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
You know, he was top 10, but he was way behind Langer by 18 shots or something mental like that. But he'd been fairly moderate since winning in Mississippi in April, but that's still 5 top 10s from 8 events. Very eye-catching 4th in the senior players last time out. And a 3rd in the senior PGA 2 outings before that. Very good links player, 7-1. He's due to win a senior open. I really like that 4th last time out. I'll have had time to prepare. He's a very good links player. Jimenez I like this week.
7-1, Miguel Angel Jimenez is Mike's main selection. What about a couple further down the list, Mike?
Well, Dave, after tipping Paul Broadhurst to be top senior last week, I'm going to go for him again. He was 2nd in that list. Only Steve Stricker beat him. A little bit of a shame that we weren't offering each way terms. Yeah. We might have had that. But anyway, he shot a very respectable 7 over with a very good 72 in the 2nd round. Has been in decent form, 5th, 12th and 23rd on his last 3 senior outings in the US. Won this event last year at Carnoustie. Also won at Pebble Beach, a senior event at Pebble Beach, which is quite windy, in 2016. I think he's a big price at 40s. I think Paul Broadhurst is a very good each way bet in this event. He's had that linked play last week as well to help him along, get him in the right frame of mind. Like Paul's chance a lot.
Those two picks then, Miguel Angel Jimenez 7-1 and Paul Broadhurst.
Do you want
to
completely off the? Off
yeah,
the...
go on, give us one a huge price. I take it
250s. I think we find Ian Woosnam.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Didn't play that great when it was here in 2014, but he's obviously Welsh. Will be so geared up to try and play well. It's actually 200, sorry. I thought it was 250s. If you want a really speculative, small bet, Woozy has still got the ability, you know, every now and then. He was 4th in the senior US Open last year. I've seen a couple of little sparks from him this year when I've been watching the seniors. He hasn't kind of borne it out with great results yet. But at a silly price, a little bit on Woozy, but by a long way, I think Jimenez is kind of each way gold.
Yeah.
And I think Broadhurst could certainly outperform the 40-1 odds. They're my main two. So I'd probably go 1.5 points each way, Jimenez, and a point each way, Broadhurst. You can just have a little silly bet on Woosie yourselves.
I always remember that club incident with Woosnam.
He's a good links player, dude.
Yeah,
he always was.
Links player, yeah.
It's in Wales. He'd be massively motivated. I couldn't put him up as a stakes bet because he could easily bomb. But Jimenez and Broadhurst might give us a bit of interest against the unbeatable journey.
Yeah, Bernhard Langer at the top of the betting. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.
So there you have it, Mike Grenham, his thoughts on the Senior Open from Royal Porthcawl. Is it an event, Dave Tindall, that you've looked at or not?
No, I shall be bowing down to Mike's judgment on that and following him with his tips because it's a good one to watch. I will follow Mike in.
Very good. Me too, actually. Especially on Broadhurst, who looks good value at 40-1, perhaps. Dave, who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Probably Kuchar, because it would kind of be rubbing it in a little bit, wouldn't it? That he went so close for me. Not that I'm not in this kind of. There's a bit of a camp. Was it all? Oh, you know, Spieth got lucky. I wasn't in that at all. I just thought Spieth was great. So I thought Kuchar played a blinder for me last week, but I don't really want him to win this week, to be honest.
No, I suppose it's one of those where if he does win, at least it's only at 10-1, Dave, and not at 50-1 or 66-1, I suppose.
Yeah.
Recap this. Let's recap this. Okay, my guy, I don't want to win. I think Tony Finau probably came closest in the Canadian Open for me. Obviously, Bubba would have been my second selection, I think, there, but you've gone for him, Dave. So I'll go Tony Finau as the player I don't want to win. Recap those selections then, Dave, for this week.
Yeah, okay. So in Europe, I'll go a point each way on Alexander Levy at 28-1. And in the Canadian Open, I'll also go a point each way. Bob Watson at 28-1, and I'm going to, I don't know why, but possibly it's because they're both 28-1. I'm going to have half a point double.
Each way.
Double on them as well. Yeah.
I like that. Okay, I'm going with 1.5 points each way, Alexander Levy at 28. So I do fancy him this week. A point each way, Jordan Smith at 33-1. And in the Canadian Open, a point each way, Anibal Lahiri at 66-1. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you to Mike Grennan for his contribution as well. Do follow us all on Twitter, at Dave Tindall Golf, at M Grennan, and at D Kellner. Get your bets on for the three tournaments this week, all priced up on the William Hill website at williamhill.com. And thank you everyone that's tuned into the podcast. It's much appreciated, and enjoy this week's golf.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.